Devasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 33, Chapter entitled The Rasa Dance. Text number 1. Shishuka uvacha.
Shishuka uvacha.
Itam bhagavato gopya.
Itam bhagavato gopya.
Shrutva vacha supeshala.
Shrutva vacha supeshala.
Jahur viraha jam tapam.
Jahur viraha jam tapam.
Tad ango pa chita shishaha.
Tad ango pa chita shishaha.
Uvacha.
Uvacha.
Shishukadeva Goswami said.
Itam.
Itam.
Thus.
Am Bhagavata.
Bhagavata.
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Gopya.
Gopya.
Cowherd girls.
Shrutva.
Hearing. Vacha. The words.
Supeshala.
Most charming. And Jahu. They gave up. Viraha jam. Born out of their feelings. Of separation. Tapam. A distress. Tat. His. Ongo. From. From touching the limbs. Upachita. Fulfilled. Ashisha. His desires. Translation and purports by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. Shukadeva Goswami said, when the cowherd girls heard the Supreme Personality of Godhead speak these most charming words, they forgot their distress caused by separation from him. Touching his transcendental limbs, they felt all their desires fulfilled. Translation responsibly. Shukadeva Goswami said, when the cowherd girls heard the Supreme Personality of Godhead speak these most charming words, they forgot their distress caused by separation from him. Touching his transcendental limbs, they felt all their desires fulfilled. Om Agyan Timalandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapatantikam. Pancha Kaupata Rubyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Petitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So now we have entered chapter 33 of the 10th canto, which is entitled The Rasa Dance. So the five chapters 29 to 33 of the 10th canto, Krishna's smile upon his face is considered to be the most beautiful part of Krishna. As Burajan Prabhu was explaining the last few days, When someone smiles, then their beauty becomes fully manifest. So this is Krishna's smile. This is what gives Krishna the greatest satisfaction, is his pastimes with the gopis of Vrindavan. So these five chapters especially describe the pastimes of Krishna with these gopis in Vrindavan. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would relish unlimited satisfaction by hearing this part of the Srimad Bhagavatam in the association with these confidential associates. Just like Maharaj Prataparudra in that pastime that took place in Jagannath Puri at the Jagannath Ballabha Gardens, Maharaj Prataparudra approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu was resting on the ground in between the dancing of the Rath Yatra, and Prataparudra Maharaj came and he began to recite verses to Mahaprabhu from chapter 31 of the 10th canto, which is the Gopi Gita. And Mahaprabhu was resting, but he was listening ecstatically to Prataparudra Maharaj, who was disguising himself as a gypsy, and he was chanting the Gopi Gita. And then Mahaprabhu, when he got to the particular verse, Tapta Jivanam, which describes the mercy of someone who spreads Krishna consciousness or glorifies Krishna for the benefit of others, then at that time Mahaprabhu, he sat up and he embraced Prataparudra Maharaj in ecstasy, and he said, "You are the most merciful personality, the Burida Janaha." This is the meaning of Burijan. Burijan means one who gives or whose life is dedicated to purifying others with Krishna Kata. This is the most merciful activity, to purify others' consciousness by speaking Krishna Kata. So Mahaprabhu said to Prataparudra Maharaj, he said, "You are the most munificent personality because you are teaching others about Krishna. You're reminding others of Krishna. So therefore, you are the most munificent personality." And then Maharaj Prataparudra felt that his life was complete because he'd been accepted and embraced by Mahaprabhu himself. This was fully the satisfaction. Just like for the disciple, when the disciple is accepted by the spiritual master, when the disciple pleases the spiritual master, then the disciple feels he has reached full perfection in his existence. The existence of the disciple is simply to give pleasure to the guru or the spiritual master. And when the disciple feels that the guru or the spiritual master is satisfied, then the disciple feels fully satisfied within his heart. But without satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master, there can be no happiness for the disciple. Prabhupada says, this is actually in the purport to 434 in the Bhagavad Gita, Tadbidi Pranipatina. Prabhupada says, this is the secret to success in spiritual life, is satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master. So Prataparudra Maharaj was able to satisfy Mahaprabhu by his actions, by the mercy of the devotees of Mahaprabhu, and then he was fully accepted by Mahaprabhu and his life was complete. He was fully satisfied. So that is chapter 31. So now we're in chapter 33 of the 10th canto, and this is the last of those five chapters of Krishna's smiling face. And this chapter describes the Rasa dance, which is called Rasa Lila. So the Rasa Lila is the pinnacle of Krishna's pastimes. There is no pastime which gives Krishna greater pleasure than the Rasa Lila. Krishna is known as Rasika Shekhar or Rasa Raj. What do these names mean?
The king of Rasa. Rasa Raj means king of Rasa.
The king of Rasa. Yeah. Rasika Shekhar. One who is able to relish Rasa to the greatest degree. As Prabhupada describes in the beginning of the Bhakti Ras Amrita Sindhu, the nectar of devotion, he describes that everyone is looking after happiness, looking for happiness. That is the purpose of existence. Anandamayo vyasat. It is the nature of the jiva of the soul to experience ananda. What does ananda mean?
Pleasure.
Yeah. Prabhupada usually says bliss, like that. In the material world, we have sukha dukkha. Material world means there is happiness and there is distress, like that. But in the spiritual world, it is not sukha. It is not happiness. It is ananda. Ananda means bliss. It is far, far more concentrated, far, far more pleasurable. The experience of what one, what the soul can experience on the spiritual platform, far surpasses the pleasure the soul can experience on the material platform. Mahatmanas tu mam parata devim prakritim ashritaha. By coming in contact with Krishna's internal energy, or the devi prakriti, one experiences far more bliss than one can experience by trying to get pleasure from the material world. The pleasure, even the greatest pleasure that we can experience in the material world, is insignificant compared to the pleasure that one, the soul, can derive in relationship with Krishna on the spiritual platform. And Rupa Goswami says that even the pleasure you get from jnana, or by realizing Brahman, or by having Brahman realization, even that, all the pleasure of, because that far surpasses the pleasure of karma, or the pleasure of material activities in this material world. The highest pleasure you can get in the material world is the relationship between man and woman, when it's working. When it's not working, then it's the opposite. Sorry?
If you're lucky.
Yeah, if you're lucky. If God smiles upon you. But that is the highest pleasure. That is what everyone is seeking after in the material world. So the highest pleasure you can get between man and woman in the material world is in Swarga, right? Which means the heavenly planets. It means in Indra's kingdom, right? It's not on earth, right? The pleasure you get between man and woman on earth is limited, far more limited than the pleasure you can get in Swarga in the heavenly planets. That is far more superior. So that is what is the highest pleasure in the material world. And that's basically what operates the material world. Right? This attraction between the males and the females is what keeps the entire material world in motion. That's what everything is based upon. Right? That's the highest pleasure in the material world. But the pleasure of realizing Brahman, or realizing one is aham brahmasmi, realizing one's spiritual nature through the jnana process, is far superior to the pleasure of karma, or the pleasure you can get in the material world. From material relationships, because you transcend matter and you enter into the realm of spirit, and you realize your eternal identity is a spiritual entity, or you realize that you are one with, you know, the cosmos or whatever like that. So in that state of consciousness, that is far superior to the pleasure in the material world. But Rupa Goswami says in the Nectar of Devotion, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that the pleasure that one derives from that, from Brahmananda, right, the pleasure of realizing Brahman, he says, is like an atomic particle of one drop of the nectar that is in the ocean of devotion to Krishna. Right? So if you take one drop out of the ocean, right, which is insignificant compared to the entire ocean, and you just get one particle, right, that is how much pleasure you get from Brahman. That is how much pleasure you get from material life, right? Compared to the ocean, right, of the nectar of devotion, right? It is incomparable, like that. So the real pleasure that one can derive is on the spiritual platform, and the spiritual energy is far, far, far stronger than the material energy, right? So therefore, one has to get the higher taste. Krishna says you need to get the param drishtva nivartate. You have to get the taste from the spiritual energy. And by getting that taste, you will lose your attraction to the material energy. You can't lose your attraction to the material energy just by jnana, just by realizing it is suffering. That won't be enough to extricate you from the material energy. You have to get a superior taste in the spiritual energy. And what is that superior taste in the spiritual energy? Where does it come from?
From Krishna.
Yeah, it comes from Jula Nyatra. That's where it comes from, right? Because Radha and Krishna are together on the swing, and all their devotees are engaged in just giving them enjoyment by pushing them on the swing, and they're getting so much pleasure seeing all of their devotees just focused on them, right? And getting pleasure seeing them having pleasure swinging on the swing. And everyone is just glorifying and chanting their names. That is ecstasy, right? For the devotee, that is the highest taste, to serve Radha and Krishna or Gaur-Nitai, right? Or Jagannath and Balaram Subhadra. That is the highest taste. So therefore, when you get that taste, you lose your attraction to the material world automatically. But you can't lose your attraction to the material world unless you get something superior. Right? So Krishna says, Parandushtvam Bhatate, you need the higher taste of Krishna consciousness. So, out of all of the pastimes of Krishna, because Krishna is known as Rasa Raj or Rasika Shekhar, that means all of us are looking after Ananda, Ananda Mayo Vyasa. That is the nature of every jiva, to look after Ananda. We're all searching for bliss. We're looking for pleasure at every moment. Right? And Krishna, the reason we are looking for pleasure at every moment is because we are created in the image of God. Because at every moment he is looking for pleasure. That's his nature. The difference is that he can fulfill his desires, whereas we cannot fulfill our desires. We are looking for pleasure, but we cannot find it. He is looking for pleasure, right? And automatically there's there to, all the pleasure that he wants is there at his disposal. Right? So the only way that we can derive, that we can fully satisfy our desires, Prabhupada said, is to dovetail our desires with Krishna. Right? Dovetail means to like come in behind, right? To follow in behind. Right? The dove is flying like that. So if you're a dove, right, you come and you fly behind the other dove, dovetail. Right? So Prabhupada says we have to dovetail our desires. If Krishna wants to have Jula Nyatra, then we should dovetail, we should cooperate. Right? We should assist Krishna in his enjoyment. And then we will find the pleasure we are looking for. So the highest, so Krishna is constantly looking after pleasure, and he wants to get more and more and more pleasure, right? And he increases his pleasure and the pleasure of his devotees at every moment. Lord Chaitanya says in Shikshastika, "Anandam buddhi vardhanam," which means the pleasure from spiritual life increases unlimitedly at every moment, right? As Gaurajan Prabhu said, that's inconceivable. We don't even know what that means. How can something just be increasing unlimitedly at every moment? Like that? But that's what spiritual life is like. That's what it is like in the spiritual world. Because that is what it is like associating with Krishna. And Krishna, his whole purpose of his existence is to give pleasure to everyone in the spiritual world. To make sure they are enjoying themselves to the highest level. Right? To give them unlimited satisfaction. So he arranges his pastimes so that everyone is continuously expanding in their bliss and their pleasure by giving his association to everyone. So out of all of the pastimes which give Krishna pleasure himself, which gives God himself pleasure, the pastime that gives him the most pleasure above all other pastimes is the Rasa Lila, which is what we're about to read about now in the 10th canto, in the 33rd chapter. So this Rasa Lila gives Krishna the highest pleasure. It is the most beautiful of all of Krishna's pastimes, and it is the pastime which proves that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even above Lord Narayan. Right? Because Lord Narayan does not have Rasa Lila. Right? Only Krishna has Rasa Lila. And when Krishna has Rasa Lila, it is the full display of God's Aishwarya or God's opulence, right? To perform Rasa Lila, just like I think it says, I was reading last night in Vishnuchakravarti Thakur's commentary, I think it says when Krishna was performing Rasa Lila, there were 3 billion gopis with him, right? How much opulence do you have to be able to perform, one person to be able to perform a pastime with 3 billion other people? And all of those 3 billion people think that you are dancing next to them only on that night. Right? It is like unlimited opulence, right? And even if you get 3 billion people, like if we get 3 billion people and say, okay, we're going to have a drama, right? We're going to, for John Marston, we're going to perform a drama, but we need 3 billion actors and actresses because we're going to perform Russellville. So, okay, we get 3 billion, right? Which is half of Earth's population, right? So we fly everyone in, you know, we get them all in here, right? We get big sponsors and everyone gets here. So it would probably go from here to Sydney, right? 3 billion people. But when Krishna was dancing with the gopis, it didn't feel like it was going, you know, oh yeah, you know. Can someone send a message to those gopis who are 800 kilometres away that we're all going to start turning to the left now? You know, there was nothing like that. It all felt like it was in an intimate area. It was in the forest of Vrindavan. Yeah, everyone was there, and somehow, by a chinchi shakti, by Krishna's inconceivable potency, 3 billion gopis were within that area. Krishna was with each and every gopi. And the most beautiful musical and dance performance in eternity, in existence, took place. This is the topmost level of God's Aishwarya. There's nothing that God does which is more powerful or more representing his potency than this. And yet, because it's in Vrindavan, Aishwarya is not the mood. The mood is madhurya. It is sweetness. Even though it is God's unlimited power, no one is overwhelmed by the power of God. Everyone is just absorbed in the madhurya or the sweetness of the pastime. And that's why it gives Krishna so much pleasure. Like that. Whereas with Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha, the mood is different. The mood is that this is the Supreme Lord. And we read in the third canto of the Bhagavatam that in Vaikuntha, the devotees are flying around on flower aeroplanes, Pushpa Vimana. And as they fly around, the husbands and wives on the aeroplane, they recite prayers in glorification of Lakshmi and Narayan. So there's a great deal of awe and reverence which is there. But in Krishna's pastimes, there's no awe and reverence which is taking place. It is just madhurya. It is just sweetness. And that's why it gives Krishna the greatest pleasure. But it is, at the same time, the ultimate or the ultimate manifestation of God's Aishwarya or his power or his potency to perform these pastimes. So this pastime is giving Krishna the greatest of all pleasure. And this pastime has so much pleasure within it that many of Krishna's devotees who are in different rasas, because Rupa Goswami describes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there are five principal rasas. Or stayi bhavas, which are there. What are the five principal rasas?
Madhurya rasa,
parental,
sakya
rasa,
dasya.
Yeah, first one is called shanta. Shanta means neutrality, right? So that is neutrality. Then higher than neutrality, or more giving Krishna more satisfaction than neutrality, is dasya, which means servitorship. Now that is found in Vaikuntha, right? Then higher than that, which gives Krishna greater pleasure, is Sakya. Sakya means friendship. And then higher than that, which gives Krishna greater pleasure, is Vatsalya, which means parental mood, like that. And then higher than that, which gives Krishna even more pleasure, is Sringara, or Madhurya Rasa, which is conjugal love between Krishna and his wives in Dwarka, and between Krishna and the gopi in Vrindavan. This gives Krishna the greatest pleasure and satisfaction. So, because there's so much pleasure within that particular pastime, or that particular mood with Krishna, then many of the other devotees from the other rasas and the other part of God's creation, they also want to get some experience of the rasa lila. So it is seen that Lord Shiva, Narada Muni, and Lakshmi Devi herself also desire to enter into the Rasa Leela. These personalities, their mood towards Krishna is Dasya Ras. Dasya Ras means they have a mood of servitorship towards Krishna. If you go to Vrindavan and you go around to Radha Kund and Govardhan and Varshana and all different places, just like if you go to Varshana, has anyone been to Varshana? One person? That's good. Two people? Three people? Four people? That's good. So if you go to the temple of Varshana, What is on the roof of the temple? In the temple room? On the roof in the temple. Does anyone remember what picture is there? Remember, there's pictures all around it, done beautiful. Just like here in between all the arches in Varshana, they have pictures of all of Radha and Krishna's pastimes painted on the wall.
Yes.
Most amazing. It's worth going to Vrindavan just to see Varshana, the temple of Varshana, just to see the pictures on the wall. That's one of the reasons I like to go every year, just to see those pictures. They're so amazing. Like that.
The picture of the peacocks, isn't it?
Yeah, but what's on the roof? The whole roof is just one big picture. The Rasa Lila. Yeah, Krishna dancing with all the gopis, right? And Radha and Krishna in the middle. And then, you see on the side, there is one gopi who has bluish complexion and has a snake around her neck. That's Shiva. Right? Shiva even takes the form of a gopi. So, even Lakshmi and Narada and Shiva, they also want to enter the Rasa Lila, but they can't. Because in order to enter the Rasa Lila, then you have to have the same mood as the gopis. Which means you have to see Krishna in the mood of conjugal ras. Right? Krishna is my lover. He is my boy friend. Even the queens of Dwarka cannot enter into the Rasa Lila because their mood towards Krishna is called Swakya Bhav. Swakya means, swa means
mine.
I own something, I own. Swa, it is mine. Right? Swakya Bhav means Krishna is my husband. Right? And he has to be home exactly when the sun goes down. Right? After all day he's been in the court in Dwarka. He has to be home exactly when the sun goes down, or else there's going to be big trouble for him. That is such a barbarous mood. Right? If Krishna comes home a few minutes late, big trouble. Right? That's where it all started. Right? This is just a perverted reflection. That's where it all began, in Dwarka. But between Krishna and the gopis, it is not called Swakya. Right? It is called Parakya Bhav. Parakya, just like when we sing for Julan Yatra, we sing the songs, and we sing Parakya Bhave. Means that all glories to Krishna's conjugal ras, but in Parakya Bhav. Which means no relationship between the gopis and Krishna. Krishna is not their husband. Although technically he is, but in terms of the pastimes, he is not their husband. So because he is not their husband, there is no definite commitment which must take place. In other words, Krishna in Dwarka, every night he comes home, at exactly when the sun goes down, and he is there every night for eternity. Right? Because he is their husband. So he must turn up on time. Right? That is the relationship. But in terms of Krishna in Vrindavan with the gopis, there is no relationship. He is not their husband. So because they are not married, and they're actually considered to be married to someone else, the gopis are actually considered to be married to other personalities, then there's nothing definite or no guarantee that their pastimes will take place, that they will meet together. Sometimes they'll come together and other times there'll be difficulties in them coming together. Right? It's so difficult for them to make their arrangements to actually meet together in the middle of the night, for example. So therefore, these pastimes with Krishna are the most attractive when Krishna is with the gopis in Vrindavan. Because there is so much mood of adventure which takes place within the pastime. In Dwarka, it is not as high, the rasa is not as high between Krishna and the queens in Dwarka. Because it's not as exciting when you have to come home every day. You know, it's exciting, it is exciting and it is blissful, no doubt, because it is Krishna. It is Krishna. Anything to do with Krishna is blissful and exciting. But it's not as exciting as Krishna having to come home every day at a particular time and be with the queens. With the gopis, it's far more exciting, far more adventurous for them to meet in the dead of night in the middle of the forest. Right? Because there are so many obstacles and impediments which they must overcome to be together. So that just heightens the rasa and heightens the rasa. So this rasa is so attractive in the Madhurya Rasa in Vrindavan, in Parakya Bhava, that even Lakshmi performs austerities for thousands of years to try to enter into that pastime. But she cannot break her mood of being Lakshmi Devi. She cannot break her mood of, this is my husband and I must surrender to him. I want to dance with him, but I want to dance with him with awe and reverence. So she cannot break that mood. So because she cannot break that mood, she cannot enter into the Rasa Leela. Right? Even though she does austerities for thousands of years to become qualified, she can never quite get there. And then Krishna, in order to reward her, he gives her the position of Sri Vatsa. So it means on Krishna's chest, there is a whitish tuft of hair, a small tuft of hair on just on his chest, which is called Sri Vatsa. And that is Lakshmi Devi. She sits on his chest and she's there in the Rasa Leela, right? But she can't actually take the form of a gopi during the Rasa Leela. And similarly, when you go to Vrindavan and you see these pictures, you'll see that there's, like on the roof in Varshana, Lord Shiva also wanted to enter the Rasa Leela. But he also could not fully take on the mood of the gopis. So he could not also enter into the Rasa Leela fully. So therefore, Krishna gave him a gopi form. And also Narad Muni wanted to enter into the Rasa Leela. So Krishna also gave him a gopi form. And what is Narada's gopi's name when he takes the form of a gopi? Naradi. Yeah, Naradi. So Naradi Gopi. So sometimes you see pictures of Narada Muni dressed as a gopi, as he takes a female form and he dresses as a gopi. And Lord Shiva also takes a female form, right, and also becomes a gopi. But they cannot actually enter and dance with Krishna because they can't give their mood up fully that this is God. Until you can give your mood up fully that this is God, you can't enter into Vrindavan. Right? This can't be done quickly or artificially. We can't just, you know, start pushing the swing tonight and just say, you know, this is not God. This is just Krishna. You can't get there immediately. It takes a lot of sadhana to qualify our consciousness and to evolve our consciousness. And we have to purify the heart and come to the platform of full surrender to Krishna. Then we can actually begin to enter into that mood properly. So this is the mood which they try to get to, but they can't fully get there. So even Narada and Shiva cannot fully enter into that conjugal mood of becoming gopis. So Lord Shiva is given the position of being Kshetrapal, which means he is the guardian of the Rasa Leela. So therefore you'll see Lord Shiva stands on the edge, and because Lord Shiva is the lord of false ego, then he stands on the edge of the Rasa Leela and he won't let any unqualified people enter into the Rasa Leela. Right? Because if they have false ego, then Lord Shiva stops them. He says you can't enter. Right? That's why we can't fully understand Krishna and the spiritual platform yet, because we have false ego. So as long as we have false ego, Lord Shiva is there and he is stopping us from fully entering those pastimes. But when we give up our false ego, then we can pass by Lord Shiva. He will give us his mercy and he will allow us to enter, and then we can actually enter into those pastimes of Krishna in the spiritual world. So it is not so easy to get into Vrindavan. Even one time, there's a story told in Vrindavan, that Kamsa, he wanted to enter into Vrindavan. Because he'd been sending so many demons to Vrindavan to kill Krishna. What was the first demon that he sent? Putana. Then?
Shakata.
Second? Shakata. Then? Third?
Trinabata.
Right? And then he said Keshi, Arista, Pralamba, Vyoma. So many demons. Demons and demons. Just send them. And the message kept coming back that Krishna keeps killing them. So he's becoming bewildered. Right? So then he's thinking, let me go into Vrindavan and see what's going on there. Let me go in and try to hide and sneak and see what's going on there. Maybe I can work out a way to kill Krishna. So you can't enter Vrindavan if you're not a devotee. Vrindavan is only for devotees, right? Non-devotees cannot stay in Vrindavan. They can't enter the spiritual Vrindavan. So Kamsa was entering Vrindavan, but he wasn't a devotee. So Purnamasi, who is Yogamaya, she caught Kamsa trying to sneak into Vrindavan on the edge of Vrindavan. And she said to Kamsa, you can't enter Vrindavan like this. You know, you're a huge Kshatriya. Kamsa was huge. He was like 12 foot tall or something. Huge Kshatriya. Huge, powerful. What are you going to do? You know, all the gopis are there and all the cows are there and the cowherd boys are there and they're all walking around. They've got cloth tied around their head and they're carrying flutes in there. And you're going to walk in like a huge Kshatriya, right? With big, you know, armour on and everything. She said, you can't enter like this. She said, what I'll do for you, I'll give you another form. And I'll give you a simple form, like a cowherd form, that you can enter into Vrindavan with. So Kamsa said, okay. So then he thought he could sneak in and see what's going on, spy on Krishna. So she got him, and she put him in one kund, in Vrindavan, and she took him out, and he had the form of a gopi. So he entered into Vrindavan, and he was sneaking around, and then all the gopis, they saw, oh, here's a new gopi. So they went up to her, just like, you know, if a Mataji comes to the temple, all the other Matajis go up and say, who are you? Where did you come from? You know, what is your name? So they went up to him and they said, who are you? Where did you come from? What is your name? And he became very confused and he's like, you know, I don't know what he said, you know, maybe I'm Kamsi Gopi or something like that. I am, you know, like that. And he's like that. They said, well, what service can you do? What service can you do? And he said, I don't know. I can maybe I can do anything. So they said, okay. So you can make the cow dung patties like that. So they got him and they put him there. And they said, you make the cow dung patties. You see, if you go to Vrindavan, all the Matajis, they pick up all the cow dung, and they mix it together, and they make all the cow dung patties. And then they get it and they slap it onto the walls in Vrindavan and they use it for cooking. So then Kamsa was doing all this, but because he was a king, and he'd been a king for so many years, he didn't know how to do this. So then they came to check on him, and they were looking at him, and they were saying, how are you going, making all these cow dung patties? And Kamsa wasn't doing a very good job. Right? So the gopis became very angry at him. Right? So then they got him, and they started to slap him around a little bit, saying, you know, what sort of a gopi are you? You don't even know how to make cow dung patties? And they all started picking up the cow dung patties and they started throwing them at him and throwing them at him. So then Kamsa was completely overwhelmed. Right? So then he ran out of Vrindavan. And as he's running out of Vrindavan, then he got to the edge of Vrindavan and Purnamasi found him again. Yogamaya found him again. And then she picked him up and she put him into the kund and he came back out as Kamsa again. Right? And he said, I'm never coming back here again. And she said, that is good. You stay in Mathura. Alright, and Krishna will come back to you. So it is not easy to enter into Vrindavan. Right, to get the mood of actually entering into Vrindavan requires full surrender to Krishna. One has to give up the false ego completely and enter into Vrindavan just as the humble servant of Krishna. And if one has that mood, then one can begin to understand the mood of the gopis and so forth, the residents of Vrindavan. Otherwise, if one has false ego and one enters in Vrindavan in that mood, you can be there for lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes trying to understand, but you'll never understand your eternal relationship with Krishna. Our eternal relationship with Krishna can only be understood and will only be understood when the false ego is given up and we learn to surrender to Krishna fully. And then we can understand the higher aspects of Krishna's eternal relationships with the gopis of Vrindavan and so forth. So this Rasa Leela is the topmost of Krishna's pastimes and it gives him the greatest satisfaction. But in order to understand it will take great qualification like that. So therefore by hearing, as Srila Prabhupada describes, we must hear Krishna's pastimes indiscriminately. Prabhupada says that we should not discriminate between Krishna in Kurukshetra and Krishna in Vrindavan. Right? We should not think that, oh, Krishna in Vrindavan, yes, I will listen to that. I will listen to those pastimes. Because Krishna is in Vrindavan, and that is his topmost abode. Because that is his topmost abode, then I'm only interested in hearing the Vrindavan pastimes. No. Prabhupada says that for a pure devotees are equally interested. Pure devotees are equally interested in hearing about Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra and Krishna in Vrindavan dancing with the gopis. Just like we saw Srila Prabhupada, he never took preference to hearing just one particular part of Krishna's pastimes. He never took preference to only hearing about Vrindavan. He never took preference to only hearing about Krishna with the gopis. Right? Just like one time in, I think, different places, maybe Los Angeles or Vrindavan or maybe both places, then Prabhupada in the afternoons, then he would go and listen to Krishna book for 1 hour. In the afternoon, just stop whatever he was doing, all the management and all the service that he was doing. And he would just go and sit in the courtyard in Los Angeles or Vrindavan, and the devotees would read Krishna book to him. And one time the devotees said to Prabhupada, they said, Prabhupada, where should we read from? Prabhupada said, anywhere. Right? Because it's all sweet. Right? It's all Krishna. Right? And Krishna is Rama. He is a reservoir of all pleasure. So we have to learn to get a taste for hearing about all of Krishna's pastimes. Right? Anything related to Krishna. And when you get a taste for hearing about anything which is related to Krishna, then at that point, then you can begin to specialize or begin to focus on particular pastimes of Krishna. For example, like Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, or Krishna's pastimes with Madhu Mangala and the cowherd boys, or Krishna's pastimes with Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj and Vatsalya Ras. So that can specifically come, but first one has to get a taste for hearing about Krishna, just hearing about Krishna. Right? When that becomes one's strongest desire in one's life, just to hear about Krishna, just to chant Hare Krishna, to hear about Krishna, and to push Radha and Krishna on the swing and jaw and yatra, then that is perfection of one's life. Then one can enter into the higher understandings of Krishna's particular moods. Because when we push the swing in the evenings, you know, we see the swing as it looks there, but in the spiritual world, the swing is quite different. In the spiritual world, it is described that one of the swings that Radha and Krishna sit upon and swing upon is shaped like a lotus flower, right? A huge lotus flower. And in the center of the lotus flower, in the world, Radha and Krishna sitting opposite each other. Mm-hmm. Right? Just like you see in the playground, some of the swings that the children go on, they're opposite each other. So Radha and Krishna are opposite each other, and this swing is shaped like a lotus flower, and the eight principal gopis, the Ashtasakhis, sit on each of the petals. And all the Manjaris and all the other gopis, they swing them. And a huge swing. And the swing just doesn't go, you know, one way. Sometimes it goes around in big circles, mm-hmm. like that, or sometimes it goes up and down. It can do all sorts of things. So meditating on swinging Radha Krishna, then we can meditate on these pastimes of Radha and Krishna and try to enter more deeply into the mood. By purifying our heart, then we'll be able to understand these grown together, and they kind of entwine. So it's like entwine like that. So the pastime was that Radha and Krishna were on the swing together, and they were swinging, right? And then as they were swinging, Krishna was kicking his legs every time they went up. So he was kicking his legs. So the more he kicked, then the higher the swing was going. But as the swing started going very high, like this, then Radharani, she became frightened, and she began to hold on to Krishna very tightly. And she said to Krishna, maybe slow down, like that. And Krishna said, no, it's fun, like that. So he kept going more, bigger and bigger, like that. And then Radharani started to scream, right? It was going so high, she was screaming. Krishna was just laughing, right? He was having so much fun. And he was just going higher, and he was seeing Radharani was holding him tighter and tighter. Right? So he was happy. So he just kept making the swing go higher and higher. And then it kept going, and then it started going so fast that Krishna made it start going like 360 degrees, like this. And then it went like that. And then it just sat up on top of the branch, like that. And all the, you see the tree where it happened, all the branches twirled up. And then Radha and Krishna, and then they were just sitting on the top together. And Radha Rani said, please don't do that again. But of course Krishna does it again. Because that's the nature of the pastimes. So we'll stop here, and we'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed.
Prabhu, isn't it that God also has his gopis and Vasalila? Not on the same level.
Yeah, so it's on a similar level.
Yeah.
Like that. But if you want to hear about that, you have to come on Wednesday. Like that. And they'll talk about Balaram's pastime. Balaram, everything that Krishna does, Balaram practically does as well. Like that. Balaram also has Rasa Leela, like that. None of the other forms of God have Rasa Leela. Only Krishna and Balaram have Rasa Leela. So practically everything which Krishna, all the pastimes Krishna performs practically, while Balaram also performs those pastimes. But Balaram has his own group of gopis. It's not that the gopis mix. Krishna's gopis are Krishna's gopis, they love Krishna. Balaram's gopis are Balaram's gopis, and they're especially attracted to Lord Balaram. But even though Krishna and Balaram, Prabhupada says, practically the only difference between Krishna and Balaram is the colour of their skin. One is Shyam, right, and the other one is whitish colour, like that. So that's practically the only difference. But still, Krishna is Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. He is the source of even Balaram. Right? So Balaram is said to be a servant to Godhead, which means that Balaram's position is that he takes great pleasure in serving Krishna. And Balaram takes so much pleasure in serving Krishna that he serves Krishna by becoming Krishna's flute, becoming Krishna's crown, becoming Krishna's shoes, by becoming Krishna's asana or seat, by becoming Krishna's bed. Actually, the whole spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan is actually expanded from Lord Balaram. Vrindavan is actually expanded from Balaram to give Krishna pleasure. So although he is equal to Krishna, in very similar to Krishna, practically the same, but still he prefers to be Krishna's servant. And in the pastime of the Brahma Vimohan Leela in chapter 13 of the 10th canto, we see that when Brahma steals all the cowherd boys, even Balaram cannot understand what's going on for almost 1 year. So even Krishna can even bewilder Balaram if he likes, because Krishna is the Supreme Lord. But practically, in terms of potency, they're practically the same. Okay. But on Wednesday, then, the devotees will speak about Balaram. So, any other questions or comments? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.